Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
So I went to the doctor, drove myself, said, Jasmine, I need to go to the doctor. So I went to my GP, and finally he said, I'm going to put you in with a cardiologist tomorrow. And so he'll call you when he can get you in. It was late on a Thursday afternoon. Friday morning they called me first thing, said, we want you to come in now. And so I told Jed, no, they're going to do a stress test and all that, so I'll go in. So I drove myself over there, and it took a couple stops between my parking lot and to the doctor's office when I got up there. So they put me on the stress test. In 5 minutes, I thought I was having a heart attack. You know you're in trouble when the nurse grabs the phone real fast and says, somebody get in here quick. So they laid me out on a table, and they had given me the shot to do the nuclear x-ray and all this. And I calmed down. They put me on that. And then I knew I was in trouble when I heard them saying, call the hospital now. He's not leaving the office. And that was over on Hennessy Boulevard, and they wheelchaired me over. They wouldn't even let me. Well, the funny thing was they wouldn't let me walk over there. And the week before that, I'd been to Texas twice and did a lot of stuff on my own. And they're not even letting me walk now. And so they put me in the hospital on Friday, and they slated the operation to go a heart cath on me on Monday. And so therewith began the tiresome. I don't know how many of you have been in a hospital lately. Been in a hospital lately? How many know they let you sleep well? I mean, it really is a great. So when they came in the first time, wanted to give me a shot in my stomach, I knew the game was afoot. I said, oh, no, I'll pass. I said, you know, what else do you have in mind? And the last nurse would come in somewhere around 11:30, and the new one would come in at about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And that was a routine that took place. And when I went in, they did the operation on Monday, the heart cath. They found out that my main artery was 99% blocked, is what they found. And so they went in, and you're supposed to stay awake. They give you a little Valium, liquid Valium. How many's ever done the heart the stents? Numbers have you done heart? You know, they put you in. I'm not the normal candidate for this, so they put you in, and they wheel you down there and operate. They want you awake. So I guess you can tell them things if it's hurting too bad or all this and that. And after 4 days in the hospital, from the last nurse at 11:30 to the new one at 3:30 in the morning, when they put that Valium in, that was it. All I remember is a doctor screaming, I need another pair of hands over here. That's the last thing I remember happening until I got into the recovery room. And they found the artery, the main artery in my heart was 98-99% blocked. So that meant I've been operating on 1% oxygen all this time. I'm ready to roll. Come on, somebody, I'm ready to roll now. I've got all my oxygen going. But at the same time, you got to know this. If ever there was a night to be in the cardiac wing, was last weekend with the Saints and the playoff. I'm going to tell you, you would have thought you were in a college dormitory. And here's the funniest of all. I'm not going to say what they did. I'm just going to say this. Benjamin and had driven back in, and Kirby, we're sitting in there, and they got this little bitty TV in, on the wall. Kirby and Benjamin went to Walmart and borrowed a 46-inch plasma TV. You ought to see this. They're hauling it into the TV room. I mean, into the hospital from the car. Everybody's watching them. They go in the elevator with a 46-inch plasma TV. They come up to my room, and they're unhooking that little thing, and they hook in this 46-inch plasma TV. We were the hit of the floor, let me tell you. We had nurses, patients. It was a blast. Unbelievable. And when the doctor came in and met with me on one day, he said, your reputation precedes you. Because they said, we've never seen that before. Somebody bring a 46-inch plasma TV into the room. And then they took it back to Walmart after the game. But they had, it was unbelievable. You got to be 7 feet from a 46-inch plasma watching the game. And this is the truth. This is before my operation. And in the fourth quarter, they had to cut it off. I mean, they literally had to cut it. I need to breathe a while, cut the thing off. And they went into the waiting room and watched the game. And I could hear the nurses, but you ought to heard down the hallway, you could hear these things. Put your oxygen mask back on. Stop shouting. I mean, it was a night to be in the cardiac wing. You just had to be there to experience it. And so we got through it, and I got released on Tuesday, And so I'm breathing better, and believe in the Lord, help me. I'm on, you know, the blood thinners for a little while. We'll see. And so it's been, but I really appreciate your calls and your prayers and helping me have some space, because it was tiring. I was exhausted. By the time they did the operation on Monday, I was totally exhausted. And so helped to have this week to rest a little bit. But I do appreciate your prayers. He did tell, you know, he told my family I was a lucky man. He didn't know half of what I've done. So we leave it at that, and the Lord helps. And so I just appreciate your continued prayers, and for my family and all, and I appreciate it. All right, everybody say amen. All right, stand up if you would. Enough about me. Let's talk about him. Exodus 30 and verse 1 says, "You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood." How many of you have done okay with your fasting this week? Most of you did okay with your fasting. I kind of had forced fasting on me. You had to fast from morning, and a couple days they tried to do it early. They'd want to get me in early, so I had to fast from midnight all the way through to in the afternoon, and they couldn't work me in, had emergencies and all this. We heard Wednesday night, Kenny took the service, and he kind of just opened it up for testimonies. And we had some fantastic testimonies Wednesday night of what the Lord has done in lives of people through the times of seeking him. Not just fasting, but intense. Fasting always is intense prayer and seeking the Lord. And I just appreciate all the good testimonies I heard about. And I know there'll be more this morning. But what we're going to do is, what we've been doing on Wednesday nights is teaching the people how to pray. And one of the types of prayer, everybody got the tabernacle prayer? Everybody got that? One of the types of prayer, if you didn't get it, raise your hand. They've got some outlines. You need to see this. If you didn't, raise your hand so they can get you one. It's called tabernacle prayer, and we're going to do that this morning in praying and ending up our 3 weeks of fasting. And I really believe that prayer works. You may have been doing a totally different service this week if you hadn't been praying for me. And I know the Lord can, you know, protect. But what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about tabernacle prayer and rehearse it a little bit, but we finished up to one piece of furniture that I've gotten to, and that was the altar of incense. We'll talk about that in just a second. But it says the golden altar of incense. Go back to the verse again. Verse 1 says, "You shall make an altar to burn incense on, and you shall make it out of acacia wood." You shall make an altar. And I want to talk to you this morning about the golden altar of incense. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. You know, I'm just grateful to be here and be alive. And Lord, we thank you for the small things as well as all the big things in life. How you've been our strength, Lord, day in, day out. You've been our keeper. Lord, I praise you this morning. How we love you. Lord, we pray, take head knowledge and make it heart knowledge this morning, that we can not only hear, but hear with our hearts. And receive and be changed in how we love you, in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. You can be seated today. Take out your paper if you would. And if you didn't get one, raise your hand again. Everybody got one. This is called tabernacle prayer. And one of the keys about praying is a lot of people do not pray very long because they start praying for Aunt, you know, Mia and Uncle so-and-so. And they pray about money and they pray about their kids. And then they kind of run out of things to pray for. And one of the keys that I've learned and prayed through my life is something called tabernacle prayer. It's helped me keep myself focused and gave me a kind of an outline, much like the Lord did in the Lord's Prayer, because they asked the Lord, they said, "Teach us to pray." And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. That was not the only way to pray, but that was one of the ways that they used in the early church to pray. They prayed through the Lord's Prayer. And I've taught through that. But one of the other ways that many saints have prayed throughout the ages is something called tabernacle prayer, because the tabernacle was given at the same time that the law was given. The law was the do's and don'ts. The laws was what you could not do and what you could do. But the tabernacle, when Moses went on the mountain, was also given to him along with the law or the Ten Commandments. And they were given to him because that was the way that when you did not keep the Ten Commandments, how you could approach God and be forgiven for breaking the Ten Commandments. It was the mercy of God compared to the law of God or the vengeance of God. And so what happened was this. There were six pieces of furniture that was in the tabernacle. And when you saw that, it was the way, the tabernacle was a way that a man from the outside with sin in his life could approach God and come into the presence of God. And it was a way when a man that had something wrong in his life, something he needed to deal with, how he could come from where he was to where God was. And so it was a way to approach God. It was a way, and I've always said this, you know, if you go meet a celebrity or a royalty, rather, you go meet a king, you just don't saunter in there any way you want to. One time the Queen of England came to America and they were having classes on how you're to approach the queen because you just don't go and shake hands. And when we go in different countries, Samuel used to teach me, now when you do this, this is the culture of this people, here's how you do this. When I first married Jasmine, the way that you greet each other in Armenian community is you kiss each other on both sides of the face. That's the way we do it today. And when I first met them, I used to tell the story. I didn't know you're not supposed to really kiss them. I didn't know that. You're supposed to make a sound of a kiss on each side of their face, and that's the way it was. So you learn a lot of things. And one of the keys about it is approaching God, and even today, you just don't approach God any old way that we want to approach God. There's pictures and ways to do it. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about tabernacle prayer. In the tabernacle prayer, we began first with what was called the altar of incense. We'll start on this side. The first piece of furniture that you would come to when you would enter the tabernacle, and if you look on your paper, you'll see it, was something called was a brazen altar. And the brazen altar was where they offered the sacrifices for sin. And I'm just going to do this real fast because I want to talk on the altar of incense this morning. But this is where you come in and you rejoice over the forgiveness of what God has done in your life. It represents the cross. Because when Moses went on the mountain, the Bible says what he made on earth, he saw in heaven. And the tabernacle was not something, just some old, you know, symbolic deal. It was literally what he saw in heaven. God said, make sure you make the same replica of it on earth. Because it's the truth. This is the picture of what is reality in heaven. And I'm going to give you what's real. The first thing that God told him to make was something called the brazen altar. He said, on it, you're to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. It was bloody. There was blood everywhere. And what I do in my prayer life, here's what I do in my day. When I'm wanting to come from where I am to where God is, the holiest of all, I start, the first thing I begin to talk about is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. It's a forgiveness. I began to recall. I said, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the forgiveness you did on the cross. Thank you for going to the cross, Lord. Thank you for giving your life. When you didn't need to give your life, you gave your life. And I began to talk about the forgiveness. But you know, the book of John says he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to do what? And cleanse us. You know, there's a difference between forgiveness and cleansing. Like one time we were going somewhere and Jennifer that painted herself. We were going somewhere one night and we walked in the bathroom and there was Jennifer. She had painted her arms. She had painted her arms and her legs blue with a blue magic marker. Come on, somebody. Jasmine immediately got upset. I immediately went for the camcorder. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to tell you, we forgave her instantly, but the cleansing was something else. Come on, somebody. So forgiveness, we forgive, and I rejoice in the forgiveness. And then what I'm doing in my life, I thank the Lord for the power of the blood and all that he did, the forgiveness and what he did on the cross. And then the second thing I do in my prayer, we come to what's called the laver. And it was where it was made out of all these mirrors that the women had donated. And it was brass mirrors. And when they would bend over, the priest could see himself. And that's where sometimes what happens is you pray and the Lord begins to reveal to you the uncleanliness of your life. And though you're forgiven, the cleansing process takes some time. Though you've been forgiven of something, the cleansing, and I say, Lord, forgive me of lying. Lord, cleanse me of that. Lord, cleanse me of the stain of sin. Now, begin to cleanse my heart, my conscience, my memory. And I begin to do that. And that's what that is. I need to go faster. The third piece is I come to the candelabrum. And the candelabrum now is, and I've entered into what's called the holy place. The candelabrum was seven little wicks on it and where the oil would stand. And one thing I've got in your paper, you can do this. I did a whole teaching on it. I usually pray through Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. There are seven things listed there. And when I'm praying, I start all my prayer with the cross. And then I go and I begin to cleanse myself. All the things the Lord revealed. I said, Lord, show me my, Lord, reveal to me what's wrong. And then what I do is I come here in the candelabrum. I begin to pray. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, there's seven things mentioned about the Spirit of God. One is called the Spirit of the Lord. I begin to pray. I begin to pray for wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. That's things I do. All right. I just pray that. And I ask the Lord. And depending on the day is how much time I spend on which one. What I need for that day. Then I pray for the gifts when I'm here. It's the lighting. It symbolizes the Spirit of God. I pray for the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, desire them, pray for them, pray to be used, pray for God to use you in the gifts. And then thirdly, I pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Some days I need some things more than other days. Everybody say amen. So we pray that. And so what I do is I pray. And then we prayed about the table of showbread. And that symbolized the word. I've got all this written down. I'm just doing this real fast just to give it. The table of showbread. And the table of showbread, it represents the word of God. That's where the word comes from head knowledge to heart knowledge. That's where, how many of you eat popcorn? How many of you eat popcorn out here? Most of you eat popcorn. You know what it takes in popcorn, when you pop popcorn, you don't pop popcorn from the outside in. You pop popcorn from the what? From the inside out. And what happens is in popcorn, there has to be a little bit of moisture in popcorn because when the heat gets to it, it begins to build up on the inside. And see, that's what the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't go to you from the outside in. You don't make resolutions. You don't, read a scripture and then say that scripture said don't do this. So I'm determined not to do. That's not what you do. You get the Word. The Bible speaks of the Word as the engrafted. Everybody say engrafted. That means it's been put on the inside. The seed. And the sower sowed the seed down in your heart. And what happens is the seed gets in your heart and it begins to be engrafted into you. And then from the inside out, a revelation and transformation happens in your life to where it's just like popcorn. When the heat gets on, pop, 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 pop. Everybody say pop, 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 pop. What happens in life is that literally God begins to go from the inside out and the Word of God begins to transform you. Okay, that's all rehearsing real fast. All right. Now we're going to go to the brazen altar. The golden altar of incense. And the golden altar of incense, look at Exodus chapter 30 and verse 2 says this. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. And let me tell you when I'm here, my daily reading, whatever I've read that day, I ask the Lord, I want that word engrafted in me. I don't want to be able to do a Bible drill and you ask me information and I can give you all the information about the Bible. I know lots about the Bible. But what I want is a revelation. I want a transformation by the Word of God deep in my heart. Where when I'm laying on an operating table, I'm not making promises to God. I'm already at peace. Come on, somebody. I say, Lord, I'm yours by the blood of and the Word is real to me. And you know what happens is you ask there and you ask God to transform it from your head to your heart. And then you come, after that, we have come now, next to last piece is I come to the altar of incense. And that's what I want to teach you on this morning. And then we're going to worship God again. It was the altar of incense. It says, you shall build me, look at verse, go ahead, verse 2. A cubit shall it be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be square, 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of 1 piece with it. And it was the dimensions on it. It says it was 2 cubits high, which made it the highest piece of furniture in the entire tabernacle. There were 2 rings. Look, verse 3 and 4. There were 2 rings on. It says, you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding of gold all around it. And 2 gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both its sides. Everybody remember, everybody say 2 gold rings, would you? You shall place them on, go back, verse 4. You shall place them on the 2 sides, and they shall be holders for the poles with which to bear it. Verse 5. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Now, this is how the altar was to be carried. There was to be, the 2 rings on each side of it. And they were not to grab it and pick it up. They had these long poles, and they stuck the poles through these, and that's how they carried it when they transported it. All right, verse 6. And you shall put it before the veil. Everybody say before the veil. If you look on your paper, you'll see where it was. It literally was in right before the veil, which was the holiest of all. It was in the holy place right before the third compartment, the holiest of all. And it was in there where there were three pieces of furniture in the holy place. You saw there was the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and the candelabrum. The other two were outside in the courtyard. And then you had these three pieces in the holy place. And then you had one piece of furniture by itself that was in what was called the holiest of holies, which was the third compartment, which had this huge veil that was built. And you can read the dimensions of it. It says, and you shall go back right before. There you go. Go back. Says it. Go back. Backwards. You shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. And that was the outlay of it, and they would do it. And listen, verse, go ahead to the next verse. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning, and when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. Did you notice this? The only thing this altar was for was to burn incense on it. The only thing this thing was to be, there was no animal to be burned on it. There was no washing to be done. There was no lighting like the lampstand. There was no bread. And then we'll do the thing on Wednesday night. But this thing, all it was made for was to burn incense. Every other piece of furniture was literally God ministering to man. The altar, the brazen altar was where there had been the killing of the animal to take our place. The washing was where God forgave us. The lampstand was where God showed us. The table of showbread. But when you come, listen, when you come to the altar of incense, it's the first time in all the pieces of furniture to where God is not ministering to man, but man is ministering to God. It's where now we're not just so much receiving as it is we're giving. A lot of people, that's a thing where you break it, where you come to that place where you begin to give. For man to minister to God, no longer for us just to receive. Just the burning of incense was the only thing that could happen. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to notice something odd, though. Now, watch this. You may never have noticed this before, but watch what happens here. It says, then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. Now watch this. Because an odd thing takes place by the writer of the book of Hebrews. That he was a Jew, but watch this. In the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. I don't know if you noticed what he just did. He just moved the altar of incense into the holiest of all. He's a Jew. He's not mistaken. He's not, you know, he just moved the golden altar of incense out of the holy place into the holiest of all. What in the world is going on? Why would he do something like that? He moves it. I don't believe it was a mistake. Let me show you what I believe. Look at Matthew. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, everybody say the what? The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, man sewed it back together. But as far as God is concerned, the veil now has been removed. See, the veil has been that which not so much as us going into God, but God coming out to us. And now the veil has been removed because behold, the veil in the temple was torn in two. It was literally split by God's hand and God's finger. No longer is there a veil. When a priest in the Old Testament came into the tabernacle, he could only go so far because he could only go into the holy place. Only the high priest once a year could go into the holiest of all. But when Jesus died, He wanted to show us what it was like in heaven. Because in heaven, there's no veil between all the places. There's no stopping. There's no getting us not to go. Because the Bible says, and we'll see in just a second. So the Bible says this, the writer of Hebrews puts it literally in the holiest of all. But I believe there's another reason. And let me say again, the one purpose of this piece of furniture was to offer up incense. That's all the altar was made for. Every other piece was God, was man making provision. I mean, God making provision for man. And the altar of incense was man making provision for God. It was literally the place where they would minister to God. Hebrews 8 says it this way. Now, notice what it says. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. I'm trying not to get excited. My doctor told me, do not shout. So I'm going down. So I'm going to dial it down a bit. A minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected. I get so excited when I think about this. Let me tell you, you're going to see a tabernacle in heaven. There's a real one up there that God made, that Moses just made a copy of it on the earth. He says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it's necessary that this one also have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So when I'm doing my prayer, when I'm praying, what I do is I know that what I read in the Old Testament wasn't the real. It was just a copy of the real. The real thing is in heaven, which I'll see. And the real altar, real brazen altar is the cross. Come on, somebody. The real cleansing is by the blood and his forgiveness. The candelabrum was just a copy of the real thing in heaven. And when you come to the golden altar of incense, it's the exact same thing. Look at Revelation 8. Listen, it shows it. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, now note, watch this, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Did you know in heaven there's a golden altar of incense, which was the real thing that literally Moses made on earth? I'm a little afraid to try this. Last time we didn't have a chance to practice any. We mix a little bit of gunpowder with this. Let's see if this works or not. That's enough. And literally they would throw this incense on these coals, and this incense would begin to rise on the earth. And when you read the book of Revelation, it tells you what Moses saw when God brought him up there. Because when he was on the mountain, it was shown him a golden altar of incense, which was before the throne of God, which is the presence of God. And we'll talk about that Wednesday night. But it says, here is the understanding. An angel came with a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden. Let me tell you what the golden altar of incense. It was located right before. There's no veil in heaven, right before the throne. What does it represent? Let me tell you what it represents. It represents the prayers of the saints that come in right before the presence of an almighty God. You know what it is? He says this angel took the incense that he had. And he took the prayers that you have prayed and the prayers that I have prayed. And this week, I'm going to tell you, when you guys were praying for me, those prayers were lifted up. They were mixed with incense. And those prayers were lifted and thrown before the Almighty God. They weren't just put out in space. They just didn't hit your ceiling. They were brought before the throne of God. And they were mixed with incense. And they were put before God. And your prayers and my prayers went up before the living God. He hears us. Jesus said that when he says, I know, Father, that you hear me. And when I read about the golden altar of incense, I realize it's right before the throne. What happens to your prayers when you pray? What do you say when you pray? Let me tell you, they rise as incense before your God. And they're brought before the altar of God. And they're mixed with incense of heaven. And they're laid on the altar. And before the Almighty God, that rises up in his nostrils. Come on, somebody. He hears us. He knows us. And what happens is this. The altar of incense was a replica of what's taking place in heaven. In fact, look what 1 Timothy 2 says. Don't limit the word prayer. Go on to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer, don't limit prayer to just asking and a grocery list. Prayer is everything combined. It's worship. It's asking. It's giving of thanks. It's reminding of what the Lord has already answered. It's supplications. It's intercession before the Lord. In fact, look what David said in Psalms 141. He said, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. He said, Lord, make my prayer as incense before you. Let it rise before you. And the word prayer there is the word tehillah, which means pray. Everybody say praise, would you? It means praise. 1 Timothy, look what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. You know, there was Paul, and David said, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. And Paul wrote and said, I would men everywhere lift up holy hands before God. This morning we're about to do that. We're going to come into a place where the group is going back and lead us in worship. Hebrews 13 says, and it says it this way, you need to understand what sacrifice is. Because we taught on that. Go ahead, Hebrews, next scripture. Do I have Hebrews 13? Are we awake in the back? Can we go to the next? Here we go. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let me tell you the sacrifice of praise. And I want to tell you something. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a sacrifice. Well, sacrifice is, you know, when you come in here and you don't want to praise God, but you go ahead and praise him anyway. That's a sacrifice. Nowhere in the Bible does God say if you don't want to do it, he'll accept it. Can I have a better amen this morning? Nowhere in the Bible does God ever say, well, you don't really feel like doing it, but you did it anyway. Nowhere does the Bible say that is a sacrifice. Let me tell you what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is something that is done unselfishly. A sacrifice is something when you have literally dealt with, like we showed you that video film a couple weeks ago, where she talked about where a sacrifice literally helps kill the self in you, the selfishness. And what happens is this, that literally a sacrifice has to do with being unselfish. It says sharing. It says sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Look at the next scripture. Go ahead to the next one, Hebrews. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, when you are giving, when you allow the Lord to use you, when you could be your four no more, but when you give, did you know the Bible says that's a sacrifice to God? That literally, you know what a sacrifice is? It's unselfishness. It's when you have come to the place, and let me tell you something, a sacrifice like that becomes literally just an aroma in the nostrils of a mighty God. It says, with these kind of sacrifices, God is well pleased. And I've learned in my life that there's times when God just requires of us to help and to give. You know, I like Acts 13. Watch this. I think it's one of the greatest churches in the New Testament. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers that names them all. Go to verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord. Everybody say that with me. As they ministered to the Lord. Say it one more time. As they ministered to the Lord. How dare us sit in a worship time and judge whether we like the song, the music, the words, when it's not the time when God is ministering to us, as it is the time when we are ministering to our God. Come on, somebody. I don't like every song we ever sing. Come on, somebody. I'm not dumb. But it ain't for me. Forgive my, you know. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's for the Lord. I had that one time. You ever saw a little kid, you know, doing something for the mama and the papa? And you say, well, that's not very good. And then the papa's about to knock you down because that's for me. And what I've learned is this, the worship is not for me. I got the brazen altar. I got the, come on, somebody. I got ministered to by the cross. I got the laver where God washed me. The Holy Spirit's been given to me and the gifts and the fruit and the knowledge and the wisdom. But man, when I come here, listen, this is when I'm ministering back to my God. This is when I'm giving to the Lord. I don't care if I like this rhythm or that rhythm. That's fine. I'll like one. But I tell you, I'm ministering unto the living. Come on, somebody. I'm loving God. I'm serving God. So I don't have to bother. It's not for me. It's not for my taste. It's not to tickle me. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me. You know, there come times when you just minister to the Lord. They had the two rings that were on the altar. They put this post on there. And you know what it did? If they were going up a hill in the wilderness, if they were going down a hill, guess what the altar did? The altar stayed level the whole time. Let me tell you something about your praise. You ought to praise him when you win the lottery, and you ought to praise him when you're on the operating table. Come on, somebody. He's God. He's God then. He's God now. And your praise stays the same. I'm going to tell you, I've learned this in life. If God would have taken me on home the other day, he has been better to me than he should have ever been. Come on, somebody. Leviticus 16 says it this way. Watch this. Leviticus 16. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Now go. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Now, let me tell you this work. I've been to Israel a number of times lately, and God commanded that the priest were to take the censer and have this big thing of incense in one hand. Then he was to take another pan and fill it up and have this pan of coals in the other hand. And he was to put incense upon the fire, and he was to come and approach this huge veil. It was solid piece. And one of the amazing things that they're teaching, the last decades they've been preparing the priest what they believe is going to be the new temple in Israel. And they teach them an amazing thing, because when they come to this point, when the high priest is then to go before the Ark of the Covenant behind the veil, they always ask this question: how does he get through the veil? Does he, you know, bend way down and slide underneath? Does he go on one edge? He's to go, and the priest teaches, no, that's not the way the high priest went to the holiest of all once a year. What he would do would be this. He would take the censer, which was the praise and the worship and the prayers, intercession of the saints. He would take it and he would throw it on the fire. And as he would stand before the veil, here's what they teach. They teach these new Levites. He is supernaturally transported through the veil into the presence of God. Can I tell you, the veil is no longer there, but in the Old Testament it was. And I love the picture. Do you know why? Because that's exactly what happens to me. Because when I have come and I'm praying in the mornings, and I pray over the cross, and I'm Say, God, I want to be clean. Cleanse me now, God. I know I'm forgiven, but I want to be cleansed. And then I begin to pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I go and I take in whatever word I read for that day, and I say, God, I want it more than just knowledge to where I know some more about the Bible. I want popcorn. I want it from the inside out. I want you to change me. I want to be different than the way I was. And what I do a lot of times, I get on my knees before God, and I'll just begin to worship Him. Can I tell you, there is a supernatural entrance into the presence of God. It's when my prayers are being mixed with the incense of heaven, and it's coming before God. I begin to worship. I just get on an instrument, a piano, a guitar. I'll just begin to worship Him. And I'm brought into the presence. You know, the other day, I didn't know whether I'd be ushered right in. I didn't know if I was going to see this thing for real the other day or not. I didn't know what was going to happen. Can I tell you, there was a joy in my heart. I just said, you know what? I love, but Lord, if I see Your face. And what happens when we worship, because it's a piece of furniture with us ministering to God, not God ministering to us. There's exactly what we're brought into the presence of a living God. Skip the book of Luke tells you about Zechariah. That very thing happened to Zechariah. And in the New Testament, John the Baptist's father, he was offering incense. But go to the ingredients. Now watch this, and we're going to have the group come up. We're going to worship. There was an ingredient. Go to Exodus 30 and 34. There was a certain ingredient. You got to hear this. They just didn't make incense. Go down the store and buy some incense, or go make incense any way you know how. God told them how to make the incense. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacta and onycha, galbanum, and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be an equal amount. And what God did was, He began to tell them the ingredient that the incense was to be. Because I want to hear this. Because this tells me, the acceptable type of praise and prayer and intercession and worship that God receives. Because they couldn't just make it any way they wanted. God said, here's how you're going to make the incense. When the incense goes, it's going to be the exact way that God said to make the incense. And He said, you're going to take sweet spices, stacta, onycha, galbanum, and pure frankincense. And these sweet spices, they shall be equal amounts in them. Go to verse 35. And you shall make of these incense a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Go to the next scripture. And you shall beat some of it very fine. Now, I want you to listen to this. When God began to give the different types of implements, He says, you shall beat some of it very fine. Put some of it before the testimony of the tabernacle, meeting place where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Verse 37. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves. Come on, somebody. Say, worship is only for our God. He's a jealous God. He said, you'll not make any of it for yourself. According to the composition, it shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it, the smell of it, he shall be cut off from it. That's how important it was what God said to do. And watch it. Go ahead to the first. Go to the next slide. Watch this. It was to be made in four different ways, four spices in the incense. The first one was the stacta. Let me just go these real fast. The stacta, and I want you to, the stacta was a resin that was taken from a tree, much like the myrrh tree. And it was a medicine. It was used to relieve pain. But here's the amazing thing about it. The stacta was not something that you had to work at. The stacta was a lot like our pine trees in Louisiana. You could go to that tree and they would go there, and it literally means to drop. And that was because you could go and get this, and literally it flowed freely. You didn't have to do anything. It came forth freely. And when I think about the ingredients of my prayer and praise is this, I don't want somebody telling me I got to lift my hands. I want to lift my hands because it's coming from me freely. Come on, somebody. I don't want somebody to tell me that I got to be here at 10:10 to worship God. I want that to come freely from my heart. I don't want somebody to be, because I want to worship Him. I don't want somebody to have to be whipping me to go. I want what I give to the Lord to come freely from my heart. I want the flow freely. Number two is this. Go to the second one. Onycha, which means scale or shell. And this was it literally came from a shellfish, much like the mussel. And it was in the very bottom of the Red Sea or the Sea of Galilee. It literally came from the depth. Out in the Red Sea, they said it could be as far as 400 to 500 feet deep. And the pattern is this. I don't want to come in here and waste my time and be lifting my hands and closing my eyes and then thinking about what's for dinner. Come on, somebody. I don't want to be sitting in here thinking, boy, I hope this gets over fast. I want it to come from the depth of my heart. I want my prayer. I want the deep things of God. I don't want to play a game because, listen, you play a game and you're laying on an operating table, you're going to be making all kinds of deals with God. But when it comes from the depth of your heart, Jesus said they worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. I want my heart to be, I want to be here. You ever talk to somebody and you can tell they're not here, they're not listening to you, they're not really here? Can you imagine when you're sitting in here and you're just kind of looking around, seeing what everybody's wearing, and looking at all this? You know what I want? I want from the depth of my heart. I want my heart set on God. I want from the depth of my heart flowing freely. That's the kind of intercession. That's the kind of worship. That's the kind of praise. When I lift my mind before the Lord, the kind that God said, here's how you're to make it. I want it to flow. I want it from the depth of your heart flowing freely unto me. Third one, look at this one. Third ingredients was galbanum, which meant brokenness. And what this one came from, it came from a tree much like the myrtle tree. And literally, it would literally do this. It would come, and they had to go break the limbs, and they had to put a cut in it. And literally, it would have to be broken, and then out of that brokenness would come this ingredient. So the third ingredient I see is this. You know, the Bible says, unless you stay broken before God, you can become hard in your heart. You can become cynical. You become just, you know, a professional churchgoer, knows how it works. But you can stay broken before God. And God says, you know the kind of incense I want before me? I want people that are broken. I want worship and prayer that is from a broken heart, from the very depth, flowing freely. And then the third one is frankincense. And amongst number four is frankincense. To be what? Literally, let me tell you what they did. They would go and they would cut a tree. And they harvested just like they did thousands of years ago. And they don't know why, but literally it doesn't start running, they say, until the wee hours of before morning. And so here's the picture. From the darkest part of your night, out of brokenness, from the depths of your heart, flowing freely, ought to be your worship before God. And God said, that's the kind of incense that I receive. Come on, everybody say amen this morning. This morning, I want you to do this. I want you to get ready. I want musicians to come on back up. And I want you to hear this because there literally it was medicine. The stacte was a painkiller. The onyx was a medicine. Galbanum was used to repel reptiles. Frankincense was antidote to poisons. And what happened would be this. God began to do that. And one of the keys about incense and prayer is verse 36 of Exodus 30 says this. You are to crush it. Everybody say crushing, would you? You know, sometimes we don't want to go through the things we go through. I did not want to go through what I went through last week. Life was going good. Life was spinning along. Next thing I know, I'm flat on my back. But you know what I've learned to do? God, listen, you know who mixes this in heaven? I don't believe God puts this off with some. You know who mixes this in heaven, who mixes this on earth? Is the heavenly apothecary, that we would say. You know what I've learned about my life? Is God wants my praise to be acceptable to him. And when you give your heart to the Lord, say, Lord, you do with me as you want to do with me, Lord. I'm yours. He begins to mix the things of your life to where your praise becomes acceptable unto him. And your worship becomes acceptable. What happens is this. They had to crush the incense. They had to take it in the crushings of life. Some of you, you know, the crushings of life happen whether we like it or not. And it depends on how we respond to it. The fiery trials are necessary to ignite the incense of our life. One of the keys about life is this. When God comes into our life, He wants to deal with us. And some of you have got some, you know, have gone through crushings in your life. That's enough, Donna. We'll do the rest another time. Is God wants to do something in your life. Turn the lights down a little bit, would you? We ready? And I want everybody to stand up in this place, would you? And what we're about to do, I know I've been trying to be obedient to my doctor. And I want you to do this. I want you to get ready to worship Him right now. And let's start off with the last two songs I think would be appropriate. And what we're going to do is I want you to take time and I want you to think about now is the time when we're going to minister to God. God just spoke to us and the cross. And I want you, while they play that, here's what we're going to do right now. I want you to get ready with me and I want you to pray with me. And I want you to be, let's start off, and I'm going to be praying, and I want you to be praying with me. We're going to go through the tabernacle, and we're going to come to the altar of incense. And when we do, then I want you to begin to worship Him. Father, I thank You this morning for the brazen altar. Thank You for the cross. Thank You, Lord, for what You did. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for laying Your life down. Thank You this morning that You didn't say no, that You didn't call a legion of angels. Thank You for laying Your life down. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for the power of the blood in my life. For forgiveness, Lord. Thank You for forgiveness in every area. Father, I ask You now that I become like You. I want to be cleansed, Lord, as I come to the laver. Lord, cleanse my, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me, Lord, of this stain, of this and stain of that. Lord, forgive me, Lord. Impure thoughts, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for cleansing me from anger and all those things. Lord, I just ask You to do that in Jesus' name this morning. Father, begin to thank You for the table of showbread. Father, I ask You right now the word I read this morning, oh God. Thank You for the wisdom, Lord, that I can know not just Your acts, but I can know Your ways. Let Your word become real to me this morning. God, I pray, let it be engrafted into my heart, oh God. I want to be changed by the word of the living God today. I don't want to go through the ritual and then stand before You having not really lived a real life. Father, I come before the candelabrum this morning. I thank You for wisdom. I thank You for knowledge. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for giving me understanding. I begin to thank You now for the gifts of the Spirit in my life. Use me that I can change people's lives. Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, let the word of wisdom come into me. Let the gift of faith pour. I begin to pray, Lord, for the gift of tongues, interpretation. I begin to pray, Lord, for the gifts of healing in my... I pray for that, Father. Begin to pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Give me long-suffering, Lord. I don't do something stupid too quick. But Lord, I'm listening to You. Give me patience, Lord. This morning, let the fruit of the Spirit begin to be in my life that I can be used. Lord, I begin to thank You. See, Lord, we're just praying for that. Now, Lord, this morning I come to the golden altar of incense. Lord, now I don't ask for anything else right now. Lord, I've asked, Lord, but now I'm mixing my incense with giving of thanks. I'm mixing it with worship. I'm mixing my communion time with the Lord. And now I'm coming to where I'm going to give. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give unto the Lord. I'm going to minister unto Him.
To know You.
like that phrase. I like that part. It says, heal my heart and make it clean. You know, I was praying that this week. I just said, Lord, just heal my heart, oh God. But you know, there comes a time when it really doesn't matter anymore, when it's just Him. Lord, we love You today. We just tell You that we have come to honor You and to love You and to adore You. The day is going to come when we will see You, Lord. We will see You and we shall be like You. How we love You today. How we just came, Lord, and this time just to love You and to minister to You and to tell You that You're great, that You're worthy, oh God. Let's sing that one more time, the Hosanna. Just sing that, would you? Lift it up. Hosanna. Come on. Come on, lift your voice.
Hosanna in the highest.
In the Lord, good today. Just bow your head one more time. Father, we want to tell You that we are appreciative of everything. Thank You, Lord, for the big and the small. Thank You for the rain. Thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for things that we know about and things we don't know about. Just want to be thankful all the days of our lives. I know it's nearing, Lord, when we'll step into Your presence and it'll be real. All that we've experienced on earth is just a down payment, just a small portion of what we're going to experience. Thank You for all the loved ones already there worshiping You, Lord. But thank You today as our prayer raised before You and our worship raised before You, Lord. It was caught on fire by the incense of, in the fire and the incense of heaven. And it came before You, Lord, and it was acceptable in Your sight. How we love You from the Lord, just from the darkness of our lives at times, from the brokenness to the depths of our hearts, flowing freely to You. How we love You. Everybody said a good amen today, would you? Father, we just want to continue this week. Speak to us. Let me tell you what I believe the Lord's doing. You know, some of you have fasted the first time you've fasted in a long time. And let me encourage you this week. Every morning, get up early and seek Him. Let the Word of God be your daily portion. Let it be bread for the journey. Let it be that which gives you strength. Write down one scripture and use the word SOAP, S-O-A-P, scripture, and an observation about it. A is an application, and P is something practical that day you're going to do with it. And let it become transformed into your life. But every day this week, here's what I want you to challenge you to do. I want you to have a time of the altar of incense. I want you to pray through the tabernacle prayer with that piece of paper. You do it. There's no right or wrong way. There's no exactness. When you begin to pray, just walk through that. And every day it's going to be emphasizing something different because that's the need of the day. But I want to challenge you this week is do this. I want you to get up early every day and get away by yourself and take that little piece of paper and begin to pray the tabernacle prayer together as a church. And let the Lord begin to expand your prayer life. But I want you this week to end up at the altar of incense. I want you to take time where it doesn't matter, it doesn't make, but I want you to worship Him in private. I want you to worship Him on your own. Just enter, and you're going to be supernaturally brought into His presence. You're going to be brought into the very presence of a living God. And I'm going to tell you, when He's there, nothing else really matters. And all those things that seem like it was so important will not be. And you'll soar with wings of eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll not fall. But you'll begin to grow, and God will begin to do something, and He'll stabilize you. And that's what I told you, the honest truth. My family knows the truth. there wasn't any fear. There wasn't any worry. I wanted all that stuff in my life. I just knew that if I went, I would be in His presence. I love Him. I wasn't trying to. I just know it because I love Him. And this week, I want you to do that as a church. I want us to go together. And I want us to pray together this week because I feel like that's what the Lord told me. One of the weaknesses of the people's lives was their prayer life, that they're not praying every day and seeking God every day. And here's what I want you to do that together as a church this week. I want you to get up early. And if earliness is not for you, then stay up late. Cut the TV off. Cut the radio off on the way to work and begin to pray through this week. And you'll be surprised. You'll see God use you. Some of you God's used and had used you in a long time. But as you begin to seek Him, God begins to use you. And when you stay and when you draw near to Him, you become like Him. When you begin to behold Him, you shall be like Him. There's no other way to be like Him except to be like Him, be around Him, be in His presence, and then you'll be transformed. Father, I pray all these things. I bless this church. Thank you, Lord, for a transforming week. We love you. Everybody said a good amen. Give Lord a good clap offering one more time, would you? Hug somebody in Jesus' name. God bless you.